Welcome back to the Trade Raiders Podcast, a podcast where we talk about the latest NFL trades. And the Jets could not get anything for Le'Veon Bell, so they released him and then got picked up by the Jets. Oh my God, like they even need him.
Have you been doing a podcast on the side and you're confused right now? Is that what's happening?
No, it's about trades.
That's Who's the other podcast host?
We're waiting for trades. That's all we do.
No, we're not.
Anyway, Chiefs are already alpha and they're going to be more alpha.
I'm going to cut all this out.
But no,
no, I'm just kidding.
We're back with another spooky comic book because we read comic books. A different trade every week.
And we
volume
talk about
ones
it.
In particular.
Typically.
Typically. That's Nathan. I'm Daniel. We're brothers. We read comics. This is a comic book club.
Yes. And we talk about comic book things and even new comic book things because we also go over the news. Pretty light week for me, at least as far as what I was able to find. So it seems like the same for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? What do you got?
Jared Leto's Joker is going to be in the
God
Snyder
damn it.
Cut.
That was one of my two newses that I had. And I found out 10 minutes ago.
He'll probably be super misplaced feeling. We'll see. I don't know. I kind of
because he wasn't in the Justice League movie at all.
No. Right? He hasn't even been seen with, like, Batman in the same... Oh, wait, no, yeah, he has.
Yeah,
in Suicide Squad. But I guess that's cool. I don't know. There's that...
We'll see.
I don't care to hear about this until it comes out.
Yeah.
But we got Jeff Lemire and Jacques going to be coming out with a new book next year.
That's right. I did see that, but I didn't write it down. We don't know what it is, though, right?
No, it's just them and that's a 2021.
Have they done stuff together?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
I think...
I've just seen Jacques on, like...
Snyder.
Snyder stuff. And then, like, some Batman stuff.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Lemire is just kind of everywhere.
Interesting. That's cool. I think that's a good pairing, so...
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
It seemed like from the teaser image, like, the background... It just said 2021, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the background of it was, like, pretty light and, like pretty bright, I guess. It wasn't like any structures or anything, but it was colored very bright, so that makes me think it's not anything like horror or like intense that Jock is kind of used to doing. So
yeah,
I'm interested to see what that is.
I imagine like creator owned something.
Yeah, no, I think it'll definitely be creator owned, but yeah, I'm excited for that. I like both of those two people. We still have not done a Jeff Lemire book.
God damn it.
And he's like our favorite.
We might do that for next week. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
No, okay.
Okay. Do you know what DC Future State is?
Oh, yeah. That's right. A lot of that stuff did leak. Or not leak, but it was announced as well.
Can you explain that to me?
No. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a relaunch, kind of.
Is it in the future of the DC Universe?
Yes.
That's
it's supposed
cool.
to be. So it's kind of... I don't know if it's like... It made it seem like it was kind of like a relaunch or just like... I think it was almost like when they did DCU, like YOU, like they had a bunch of different books that came out that was kind of just like a temporary thing that they were doing to explore a bunch of stories in a certain way. So I think that there's still going to be the main books going on, like Batman, Superman, and stuff that are going to be mostly unaffected.
Yeah.
But they...
It'll just be kind of like, you know, a line of Future State stuff.
Yes. That's what I think it is. And I think that that's... I think there's something that'll lead into it. I think almost, I think the end of DC Metal,
okay,
is going to kind of lead into it a little bit. But
is there gonna be like a main book called like Future State or something?
I don't think so.
So it's not an event with a bunch of spinoffs. It's like
no, it's like I'm pretty sure it was like a whole line of
okay
of books.
It looks cool. I just heard about it like today. Like the one I'm most excited about. Is the one with like Superman and he's like exiled from Earth and it's like 10,000 years in the future or something.
I didn't hear about that.
Super
that's
far.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm like, and the cover art's sick for it. He's got like chains on and shit.
I'm gonna see if I can find
this. He looks all savage.
I'm gonna see if I can find like a simple explanation of what it is.
There's like a future Batman and it's probably.
He's got
like,
a mask?
Yeah, he's got a mask. It's like not Bruce Wayne. It's probably, you know, one of the Robins, obviously.
Right.
I think Batman is still around, but he's doing something else.
He's old.
He's old.
He's shown his biceps more.
Yeah, he's wearing t-shirts.
He is wearing t-shirts.
Casual Friday Batman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman's out doing some stuff. There's like some other Amazonian Wonder Woman.
So DC Future State gives fans a look at the future of the DC Universe this January. Oh, well, that's pretty soon. An all-star lineup of writers and artists to introduce future DC superheroes and terrifying new supervillains in this two-month line-wide event. Fans to discover a new status quo for their favorite superheroes and supervillains. So that's pretty cool.
This is cool because it's kind of like, I guess, like Elseworlds kind of thing, but they're considering it the future. I don't know if it'll be far enough to where comics will actually catch up with it, but...
I have no idea.
Like, is this 5 years in the future or like next? Is it in March? I don't know. Like,
yeah. So it looks like there's a bunch of different series that are coming out. So there's a couple oversized comics. There's the Future State : The Next Batman, and that's numbered 1 through 4, which will include The Next Batman, The Outsiders, Arkham Knights, Batgirl, and Gotham City Sirens, which are all each individual parts of those four issues. Then there's Future State Dark Detective, which is, will include Dark Detective, Grifters, and Red Hood.
Huh.
Some notable...
I only know one Grifter.
Some notable names. John Ridley, which I did hear that he was going to do a Batman comic, but he's the writer of 12 Years a Slave, like the movie.
Oh, shit.
So he's going to be on there. Nick Darrington is going to draw that one. So that's exciting. We have Paul Jenkins and Jack Herbert on Arkham Knights.
Herbert or Hubert?
Herbert.
Okay.
Matthew Rosenberg on Grifters, which is cool. Joshua Williamson on Red Hood. Mariko Tamaki on Dark Detective. I'm just naming the ones that I recognize. We have...
Josh Williamson's good.
Yeah, he is. Otto Schmidt is going to be on Catwoman, so he's pretty good. Have you seen his stuff?
I don't think so.
He did the Rebirth Green Arrow, and he's doing... He was doing Hawkeye Freefall with Matt Rosenberg, and I thought that was really good. Apparently, he's not going to be doing it anymore, though.
I like Green Arrow.
And then, yeah, those are the main ones. There's also Future State Superman of Metropolis, which has a bunch of stuff. That's number 1 through 2. Future State Superman Worlds of War number 1 through 4, Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number 1 through 2, and that has names like Becky Cloonan. We got,
is she on Wonder Woman?
She's on the Wonder Woman one. Yep.
Dope.
And on a Midnighter series, which is cool. Mikhail Janin is going to be on Superman Worlds of War.
Yeah, his cover is sick.
Yeah. Did you see the Lee Weeks cover for Superman?
No.
It looks really good.
I haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah, he's got... You know what I found out today?
Huh.
I have, like, the first ever, like, solo series issue of Gambit, like, when he first got his own solo series.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover for that was done by Lee Weeks, and I had no idea.
The one that's hanging up?
Yeah, the one that I have, like, framed and hanging up.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, I just found that out today.
It doesn't even look like Lee Weeks.
Yeah, he's been a part of the game for a while. Damn. So
that's cool.
That is cool. There's some Justice League stuff with Joshua Williamson as a part of it. We have...
Yeah, I think like the Superman of Metropolis is just like John Kent.
Mm-hmm. And there's going to be Future State. There's going to be one issue from what it looks like of Future State Aquaman, Future State The Flash, Future State Teen Titans, Shazam, and Swamp Thing, all in different series.
I don't know what's going to be so futuristic about Swamp Thing. He's just going to be Swamp Thing in the future.
Maybe there's less trees and he's got to deal with that because we are cutting down trees and building cities. Who knows?
Or maybe it's like tied to global warming or something.
That'd be kind of cool.
Some pollution shit.
Yeah.
Pollution
comics.
We
love pollution shit.
We like political comics.
So that's exciting. Yeah, I totally forgot that was an announcement.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, so and I like that it's happening over... what did I say? Like two months. If we don't like it, just wait 2 months.
Yeah.
That's good. There is a Green Lanterns one that I saw in there that's going to focus on like Jessica Cruz, Jon Stewart, and Guy Gardner, I think.
Okay.
So, we'll see. Yep. I'm excited for new Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah, so I thought that all looked interesting. It's like... It wasn't just a...
Like a little bite-sized.
The next reboot. It's not like everything's going to change. It's just like for a bit, which mm-hmm. I think is a good idea.
I think so. Like bite-sized things, and who knows if they, you know, create a couple bangers, then who knows what they'll do with it. So.
They should have did this with in Marvel with like the Avengers, like, you know, 1 million BC or whatever.
I agree. Yeah, they really like fucked that.
That shit was awesome.
And I know that they elaborated on it a little bit more in Jason Aaron's run, but I loved that shit. Like, one,
we need a whole series that's like 20 issues.
Yeah, there was like a sweet Doctor Strange, a sweet Iron Fist, like 1 million BC. Dude, like the first Iron Fist.
And dude, it was super Ghost cool. Rider.
Riding a woolly mammoth.
That shit, like, was so cool.
That is the best idea anyone's ever had.
And then like it was just old Thor. It was like Odin.
It was like Odin, yeah, which makes sense and like super cool.
There's
and,
like Phoenix. An old... Black Panther.
Like, I really dig it. Yeah. But I felt like there could have been more. I felt like there was a lot of hype around it.
Like, and the big two, like, they juice everything, so I don't doubt that they'll come back to that eventually. Like, why have something so good just in one issue? You know what I mean?
I think it was in more issues, but not, like, its own thing.
Maybe just mentioned, honestly.
So, who knows? But, yeah, I agree. I think they should have done a little bit more with that. I think there's more there to kind of explore because, like, I think it also tied in, like, Celestials and stuff, too.
Yeah.
To it, which is awesome. So, who knows?
Those are scary.
Yeah, okay, cool. Good news. Do you have any other news?
No.
I have one more bit of news. Ooh. Probably the most exciting.
Wow.
Between all this.
More exciting than Jared Leto?
Yes. It is just announced from Marvel that there is a 6-issue limited series of Iron Fist coming this January. And I'm super excited about it.
I can't wait to not read that.
It's going to be by two people that I don't recognize.
Perfect. That always goes well.
But it looks good. I'm going to just say that. So it's by Larry Hama, who did some stuff in Wolverine and G.I. Joe. And then David Wachter is going to be on art, who did like recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff and also did some Wolverine stuff, I think. And so the title of the series is Iron Fist : Heart of the Dragon. And I guess that the pitch for the story is that there's somebody that's killing all of the mystical dragons that exist.
There's multiple?
Yes.
Oh.
It was explored that there's like multiple dimensions that have their own like mystical city, like Kunlun.
Mm.
And so there's their own set of dragons there. But I think Marvel has a lot of faith in it because it was given to Nerdist to actually like exclusively announce. And they like shared a couple different like tidbits about it and showed like some exclusive art. So I think
maybe they just wanted to be promoted a certain way.
Yeah.
Not necessarily they believe in it.
Right. But one of the things that I'm most happy about, which, by the way, look at this cover. Look how cool that is.
All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm happy that they got rid of his stupid fucking tracksuit costume.
No, that was sick.
That was the dumbest costume.
No, that was sick.
It does not work whatsoever.
It was like Casual Friday Iron Fist.
Like, he can wear that if he's, like, walking around New York, but I don't buy Iron Fist, who's, like a kung fu guy.
I think it's cooler when there's, like, actual, you know, superheroes, you know, that's probably what they'd wear in real life, not just spandex, disagree. You know?
You might... Well, now I don't want to show you
the you know how Hawkeye in My Life as a Weapon just had like a t-shirt and like cargo pants?
But that works because awesome. The story was centered around him just being a normal guy, you know?
I guess.
That story wouldn't have worked if he was in his costume, but Iron Fist is iron. He's fisting people in a tracksuit.
Whoa.
So it didn't work for me. But now I don't.
I just don't think like, you know, these superhero costumes are realistic because does he wear it in the show at all? That's why we like him, Daniel. I guess. I think it's cooler when it's a little down to earth.
Okay, well now I'm not going to show you.
No, let me see it.
So I'm not completely sold on it yet.
Okay, is it ridiculous?
So what I just showed you, that's in the cover. That's his like old school outfit. He's got like the
classic. Yeah.
He's got like the cut like down the middle of the shirt. You can see
deep V.
The deep. It's not even deep V. It's like actually it might be, but. You can see his tattoo. He's got the big, like, what do you call these things that, like, Mr. Miracle has?
Collar?
Yeah, he's got the big Pops collar thing.
The high collar.
So here's the new one. And
It's a new design.
It's a new design, never before
Ooh.
Seen. And so that's what it is. And so, one, I think it's better than the tracksuit. I don't think...
It's like... middle ground.
It's like a middle ground, yeah.
It, like the collar is not as high.
I think it could be a little bit higher.
It's kind of interesting how the tattoo of the head peeks out, and then the actual logo is on the tracksuit still.
I know.
Because it zips up, but it's three-quarter sleeve.
But how dope is that?
And then he's got a belt that's just like...
Oh, let me see the belt.
It's just like a ribbon. Like
That's what it normally
like
is.
Like a Ninja Turtle.
How sick is it to have clothing that matches your actual tattoos?
Dude, I want some of those.
Like, imagine if you had a shirt with your chest tattoo.
And it was also DP.
Yeah. Dude, that would be kind of sick.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know, like, how I feel about it yet, just because it is a little ridiculous that his costume... like the actual cloth or whatever it is replicates his tattoo.
It's funny because if he zips it up, it looks like Batman.
That's true. Yeah.
Or maybe the head.
I don't think it zips.
Head will like show up because like the, you know, each side of the jacket is just flipped or something.
Yeah. Maybe like, I don't know, but I think it's.
Why three-quarter sleeves? That's like these design decisions are the things I think about.
It's a middle ground, dude. Like the tracksuit had long sleeves. Now he's got to have three-quarter sleeves.
At least like in the casual one, they didn't turn his mask into like a beanie or something.
Yeah,
you know, it just went super casual. Or like
fucked.
I mean, it's basically just a do-rag, so
yeah. But I mean, the art looks pretty good. I'm excited for it. And it's only six issues,
so it won't be that painful.
There's like a contained story in there, which I like the idea of.
Right.
So it won't like, it's not gonna like drag out, which I felt like the last series that he had was. Or kind of did.
Is that the one with Power Man?
No.
There's another one.
There was one after that with Ed Brisson.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
The beginning of it was really cool. And I think...
That's all I read. So.
And I think it kind of went into, like, a weird territory because they started introducing, like, Sabretooth and they were doing things together. And so I was like...
Oh, yeah. They're, like, buddies or something.
Yeah. I think Sabretooth was originally from a Iron Fist comic. If I'm not mistaken.
Huh.
So.
I don't know. I think, you know, the trope of, I'm losing my powers thing is a little dated, I guess, and just kind of can be overused. But I thought it worked well in that book specifically. Just because I've never seen that with Iron Fist. Because I haven't read any Iron Fist.
You haven't seen what?
You know, the superhero trope of the story is basically along the lines of, oh, I'm losing my powers. Like, what do I do?
Kind of thing. Yeah. Yep. So that's the news I was most excited about. Found out about it yesterday.
He's like running out of chi or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
he's got his chi rectile dysfunction.
Exactly.
So anyway, that's the news, and let's go over what book we read this week, Daniel. So what book did we read this week, Daniel?
We read 30 Days of Night.
No, we didn't.
That's what I read.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, okay.
You read Lock and Key.
Yes, we did.
A classic Image book. Is it Image?
I don't think so. IDW.
Oh, the classic IDW.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
IDW series. Might be our first IDW series.
Maybe. I'm so embarrassed. Anyway.
So, yeah.
Written by Joe Hill. I think he's like a...
He's a for real writer.
He's like a horror legend, kind of.
And yeah.
He writes books and stuff. And then Gabriel Rodriguez on the art.
Yes.
I guess he did everything. Or no, colors by... What's this guy's name? Jay Photos. Letters by Robbie Robbins. What a great name.
Robbie Robbins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a good name.
So, yeah. I would... Like, this isn't necessarily like a horror comic, in my opinion.
If this... So it's got a show on Netflix, and I was about to say, if this had a show, it'd be called a horror show.
You think so? It's more like a thriller, I guess. Like,
it's more mystery, I think, but there are horror elements to it. Comics aren't, like, scary, you know?
But
like, they call, like, Preacher a horror comic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's just,
like supernatural. The only horror aspect is that there's a killer.
Sure.
And
that could be a crime thing then.
Yeah, it feels kind of like a crime thing, but it's like there's a psychopath kind of deal happening and there's ghosts.
It's a haunted house. Yeah.
It's not haunted.
It's a house that's not normal. An abnormal house.
We'll get into it. I feel it more as like a thriller with a twist because there's nothing here that I'm like, oh, I'm scared for what's going to happen to this person.
There was one panel I'm like, oh shit, because I did not expect it.
Yeah.
But okay. This reminded me a lot of like Hill House, like the Haunting of Hill House and like the Haunting of Bly Manor, just because it's a big house and there's shit going on in it.
Yeah. It's always a new big house that you just moved into that shit goes sideways.
Yeah. And the kid is the only one that sees it or whatever. Yeah. No one believes him.
Yeah, no one believes the kid because he's just using his imagination.
What are your overall thoughts?
I didn't care about it at first, but it had a very impressive ending.
I agree.
Definitely like it wrapped around. Up incredibly well. The first like three issues, I was like, I don't really care. I don't really know what's going on. And I was like, oh man, is this going to be like the first book that I openly like don't like?
Yeah.
But it ends up like turning around pretty quick because like page after page, like things are getting answered. And now like things are all connected, I feel like. And like the pitch of the show or the pitch of the comic now connects with me and like grabbed my interest.
Yeah.
Whereas in the beginning, I was like, people are turning into ghosts and there's, you know, this family and why do I really care about them? Because you do kind of get introduced to them all at once, which makes it hard to like really care for any of them really, other than like the kid. But right. So at first I was like, I don't really know.
And then you see like flashbacks and it's kind of hard to, you know, really know who's who in flashbacks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
there's still one character in here that I have no idea what like his relation to everything is.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
So,
but I think I know the answer to.
So I think
I like the concept overall, and I think like going forward with this, I think it would continue to be interesting because it expands, and that's kind of what it's hinted at the end.
I literally was like, I don't know why this is a Netflix show until like the very very last panel, and I was like, okay, I get it.
Okay,
so
I just think if you have a couple issues to go off of, it can be a Netflix show.
True. So. Yeah, I guess so. So we'll get into it. So the first issue, we are introduced to kind of the whole family that just moved from San Francisco to Massachusetts in a place called Lovecraft. And the kids are Tyler, who's like the oldest. I don't really know how old anybody really is. Tyler looks like he's
in high school.
He looks like he's 25 or something.
Like, yeah, he looks pretty beefy. But apparently he's 17.
What?
Yeah, he's in high school.
I thought he was like 20 at least.
He's
like,
in high school. I was like,
that's the youngest he could ever be. No, he's in high school when in flashbacks, right?
Right, but flashbacks are just like 2 months ago.
Maybe, yeah.
He's still in high school.
Okay, all right, fine.
We
don't ever see him in high school, but I guess he's in high school, according to Daniel.
And what? Okay.
There's also Kinsley.
At the end,
who is a girl.
There's a character, he's like, oh, I met this guy in high school.
Is he talking about the past?
No. Okay,
well, there's Kinsley, who is the middle child who actively goes to school. But while she's going to school, Tyler's not going to school, or we don't see him go to school.
Maybe just graduated then.
Okay, let's meet in the middle there.
Maybe. We'll figure it out.
And then there's Bode, who's the youngest kid. He's probably like, I don't know, 8.
He doesn't go to school. Maybe he's 4.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be around 4. He's like super young.
I definitely get 5 and 6 vibes, but okay. The fact that he doesn't go to school, I think.
When do you first go to school?
5, I think it's kindergarten.
Okay. All right. He can be 5. It's up to us now. Anyway, those are the kids. And so in the sort of beginning scene, they're all kind of adjusting to like this new house when their dad gets murdered by 2 people that visit their house while the kids are kind of outside messing around. There's like a funeral scene where a bunch of people offer condolences to Tyler, and like there's a little bit of a flashback that happens there.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to read because it's like the portion of the panel that was also the same setting is gray.
Yeah.
And I had to like kind of double take because it's still slightly colored. It's like
the framing of it is exactly the same throughout the whole way. I was able to figure out that it was a flashback because there's a subtle change in like the word balloons and like the lettering.
Yeah, I didn't
pick up on
that.
To where it's like faded. And so that made me think like something's happening here, probably a flashback. Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't really know what we kind of got from that flashback, to be honest, other than like the dad kind of explaining that there's a house in Massachusetts. I think that there may have been like some drinking issues, but you know, it's just young Tyler kind of overhearing it. But that was in a flashback, And that's after his dad's funeral. So I guess they had the funeral at the house that they used to be at.
It's in San Francisco, so yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of what happened. There's a bunch of family there. People are offering their condolences. And then there's this guy named Rennie.
I think he's his friend. Like a buddy or something.
I got more of uncle vibes, almost.
He looks the same age.
He kind of does. I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. So,
what's his name?
Rennie? R-E-N-N-Y?
No, that's the dad.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I just called him Mr. Locke the whole time because I didn't know his actual name and I didn't want to find it.
No, that's not his name either.
Okay, so then there's his other dude. there's a lot of names you're introduced to at the beginning and I'm like, I don't really know what to take from this. So, whatever. There's a dude, probably a friend or an uncle. It's not made clear yet.
Uh-huh.
And he says that he's going to go back to Massachusetts with them because they still have to live at that house. So
this is the second house from where the murder was.
Yeah, the murder.
It's called the Key House.
The murder was at the Key House in Lovecraft.
No. I think. Wait. Hold on. No, it was a smaller house because they don't keep revisiting like.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so the first house
was in San Francisco is where his dad got killed.
Okay, yes.
And then the Key House is in Mass.
Right, which they go to after his dad gets murdered.
Right.
Okay, cool. And then also this issue, we ultimately flash back to what happened when their dad died. So there's the two assailants, I guess, and they end up killing the dad after the dad challenges them to shoot them for some reason because he's kind of like standing up to him, and so he ultimately gets shot. The kids kind of see this from the window, and when they do see it, they kind of stumble back, and Tyler steps in like some paint. And then Kinsley and Bo decide to hide on the roof while Tyler goes in through the basement. But the main bad guy, his name's Sam, hears him and sees his footsteps tracked by the paint leading into the basement. So he goes after him, and then they have a fight in the basement that ends with Tyler beating up Sam pretty bad with a brick. And then when he goes back into the house to try and, like, check up on his mom, the other dude that was the assailant there is, like, holding the mom, like, hostage. And then he ends up pointing the gun at Tyler, and the mom kills him with an axe. So there's, like, a whole scene that ends up happening. I do want to point out that fight scene with Sam and Tyler was pretty sick because it was in, like, a dark basement. And so, like, the collage of, like, the fight over, like, a single page.
Yeah, it's just a black background with like the different actions like colored.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
And there's like a gunshot that happens from Sam trying to shoot Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the only lighting that's in that frame, so the lighting of it looks pretty stellar. There's a lot of silhouettes and like fighting and smoke, so I think that that's a really interesting page. There's also some good lettering. There's a big old blam.
When
he's shooting. There's a whack when he hits him with a brick.
A little clang.
I don't know what the clang is. Some stuff falling over, perhaps.
More paint.
Yep. So I think that's a really good page and done really well. And so, good stuff.
I like the consistency of the art.
It is very, yeah.
Once you learn the characters and they're drawn like pretty much exactly the same, mm-hmm. which I think can be hard as an artist.
Yeah.
It's got like a vibe that I didn't like expect when I was going to read this book. I was expecting something more Vertigo, like 90s or something.
Yeah, like I don't really know how to place it, but everybody looks pretty like thick, I would say.
Yeah, everything's a little like eyes seem like a little bigger than normal proportion.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
He does faces really well.
Yeah.
I want to say like, and he's able to over exaggerate it when needed. And I've noticed that most, and I wrote it down in like issue 3, but he's really good at writing like kids' faces. So when Bode is like messing around and doing stuff, like his faces are pretty over exaggerated like a kid's would be. So mm-hmm. I really like that as well.
Right.
So yeah, so now everyone's kind of dealing with the aftermath of the dad getting murdered, Sam beating up or Tyler beating up Sam and everything. So they're just in this new home in Massachusetts when everyone in there, you know, it's kind of known that everyone in the city heard about that murder, and I think so we don't know who the extra dude is. I thought it was their uncle, but he's now living with them.
I thought that was like his house or something. That's what it made it seem like.
I don't think so. No, it's definitely the dad's parents' house because he mentions it later.
So I guess it is kind of like an uncle, but maybe he still lives there?
Then I would be okay with that.
Okay. Yeah. So after rereading some panels, I can rule out the friend thing.
Okay.
But we still don't know who he is, technically.
Yeah, some stranger. I'm just kidding. But yeah, so now he's there, and Bode, the youngest one, is snooping around the house and finds a special key that he then uses on a door. And when he tries to walk through that door, it turns him into a ghost and leaves his body, like, dead and on the floor. So he's now a ghost, but he finds out that he's able to switch back and forth between being a ghost and inhabiting his dead body, which is a thing that comes into play in the book pretty frequently. And we also find out that Sam, the original killer, is now at a prison in San Diego, and he's got, like, heavy stitching around his face and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main points that are at the end of issue one. So, and so when we see the kid, like, trying to leave the house, I think it is, like, a clever way of showing, like, how he's, like, physically able to leave, because he doesn't say, like, oh, I must not be able to, you know, leave this door. But this key that he finds has the special power of turning him into a ghost if anybody tries to walk through it.
Yeah, it changes, like, what the door does if you walk through it.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. And, like, I think they're able to show that pretty well without explicitly, like, saying it.
So yeah.
Props to him there. Also, he's, like, the drawing of, like, a dead kid. The drawing of anybody that's dead is pretty, like, over-exaggerated as well. Like, their eyes are going different ways, and, like, they're very gray.
Yeah,
it looks they just, like immediately
he turn looks gray. Like a zombie. There's, like, wrinkles on his face that aren't there.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So, good stuff. But going into issue two, this issue starts with the kid, Bode, exploring kind of his new ghost ability. But he does also, like, draw a page of, like, a comic that, like, is explaining, like, his new power, and...
Oh, he does go to school, because he drew this in class.
Oh, that's true.
Ah, I forgot about that.
Fuck. Well, now we don't know how old he is. He could be 20. I'm just kidding.
If he goes to school, he could be 20. I'm guessing 7.
I'll go with the... He's pretty good at drawing comics, I'm not gonna lie.
But... Yeah, 7-year-old can't do that.
No, I would say 7's... That's probably what...
Look at his page layout.
That's probably what a really good artist thinks somebody that's bad at drawing draws like.
That's a kick-ass cow.
Dude, that cow, it's got 4 legs. It's got 3... It's got udders. Dude.
Look at the udder.
Yeah.
It's a good place, udder.
And, like, he also draws himself turning into a ghost, which his mom now has because the school gave it to her. And she's like, he's trying to cope with his dad dying.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. That's perfect.
I mean, like, that's, I think, what you would think.
I like how he's just straight up, yo, if you go through this door, you turn into a ghost.
He tries to say that multiple times. He tells
everybody, they're like, all right. If a kid told me that, I'm like, let's check this out.
I'm like, really? I need to see this shit. Like, I would definitely entertain kids if they were like, I could turn into a dragon. I'd be like, no fucking way.
Be like, bet, do it.
Yeah.
He tells his sister, like, later and shows her. And then he dies.
He, like, dies in front of her.
In front of the door, and she's like, this isn't funny. And then, like, just leaves.
Yeah.
I'm like,
doesn't go through the
what
door.
What the fuck?
The door goes outside, so I guess she's like, I'm going to go back to my room. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, this issue's kind of exploring Bode's ghost ability. I think it's a dumb name, by the way, Bode. I don't like it.
I think it's short for something.
I'm just going to come out and say it. But
it was the one that was easiest to remember for me. Maybe because it was just coming up more.
Yeah, and he's more of like he's a pretty prominent character. But he's able to, like, in this ghost form, he's able to pass through walls and listen to conversations. But he also finds out that, like, he leaves a chill when he, like, passes over people. So he, like, flies over Tyler in the shower and he gets, like, all chilled. And
he flies through the water and the water gets cold.
Okay, yeah. So, which...
I was like, damn, if your water gets...
Which is a fucked up concert or concept, because if you're ever in the shower and it randomly gets cold, now I'm just going to think that there's a ghost in there.
I still think someone just flushed a toilet somewhere.
Is that the rule?
Yeah, I guess, like, I don't know.
Doesn't it turn hot when you do that? I don't know why the toilet affects the shower
at all. It's one or the other. I guess it's the same supply line.
I'm showering in toilet water is what you're saying?
No. Toilet water is, like, clean until you use it. You know, like the stuff that goes in the tank?
Yeah. That's clean?
Yeah.
So if I'm ever on the shitter and I need, like, you know, a little sip of something.
You can drink out of the tank.
Really?
You never heard that?
No.
Yeah, they. I feel like I've heard that just like a lot in school.
Have you done that?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't want to. Because I have a Brita.
Do you have a water bottle next to you at all times? What if it's a long session on the toilet?
I don't think I'll get thirsty.
I guess that's true. That's You're like, kind of focusing on something
else. If it's that long of a session, I'm probably pretty concerned and Googling what's wrong with me.
I don't know. I normally have pretty long sessions, and I'm like, man, I would kill for a drink right now.
Oh, I am parched.
Maybe maybe I'll bring one of those collapsible straws with me everywhere I go.
A metal straw that you just and keep like, in your pants.
If I'm just at a bar and I'm taking like a beer shit, and it's taking a while, you know.
Dude, you can just turn around just and then around. You can sip and shit at the same time.
That seems pretty ideal. Well, and I'm also hydrating, so I can go drink more. You've changed my life, Daniel.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, anyway, yeah, when Bo does a ghost, he like leaves a chill in the shower when he passes over people. And it's also a rule that if he thinks about somebody or somebody thinks about Bode, he will be like basically like summoned there. And he tries to, like, explain this cool new thing that he found out to his siblings, but they think he's just kind of playing around. So it's that classic, like, kid experiences something kind of freaky, but no one believes him.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, Bode is, like, fishing or something. I don't know where he's, like, fishing. It seems like it's in their backyard, and there's, like, a little river that's kind of going through.
You know those little, what do they call? They're in the roads. It's just, like, it's kind of a river, but it's, like, surrounded by concrete. I think it's a canal.
Okay.
I think it's like a canal.
Yeah, because it seems like it was kind of built almost, or there's something kind of built around.
Yeah, there's
it.
Like a sidewalk that they're on. But he's got a fishing rod, and I think there's a magnet or something on the end of it.
I think he said that he's like kind of fishing for treasures, so he's kind of doing like a kid thing, even just doing that. Like he's trying to see what treasures lie within there, so he just kind of sits there and fishes. So he's kind of sitting there, he's fishing, and he like does like a little bit of whistling, and then he hears an echo from a well house that's like right next to it. So it's like a structure that has like a well in the middle of it. So he goes and checks that out and hears his own echo a couple times, and then suddenly the echo from the bottom of the well starts talking back to him and calls him by his name even. So calls him out, calls him Bode, and he kind of gets freaked out and pulls in Tyler and Kinsley, but they don't believe him again because they just think that he's talking about the natural echo that's there.
The well house is locked, and they're not supposed to go in there, so they kind of get pissed at him for doing that.
Yeah, they keep going in through the window.
He, like, slips through the bars.
Yeah. So, wait, was Tyler not able to get in?
No, he's fat.
He just kind of, like, pokes his head through, huh?
Yeah, he's a thick boy.
Yeah, thick boy. So, yep. Another thing, they don't believe him, but it also kind of a freaky thing, I guess, in general, just thinking that your echo is actually someone else saying the same thing back to you.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea, I think.
But
I feel like
they said something that he didn't say, and I would have shit myself if I heard that.
I know, yeah, but the idea is that whatever's at the bottom of the well is always replicating what you're saying, but, you know, has the ability to talk at you.
It reminds me of that scene in The Grinch where he's like, I'm an idiot. He's like, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot, yeah.
That shit freaked me out as a kid. I'm like, who's there?
I know, yeah.
It's just somewhere in this cave.
Dude, he took that from The Grinch. Oh my gosh. And so Bode kind of explores it with his ghost form to try and figure out what that was. And he finds a woman that's actually down there. And the woman can sense him even in his ghost form and tells him to come back to talk in his person form. And so he does, and she kind of explains that she's an echo that formed down there and can't get out because, one, she can't climb out, but also echoes can't go past, like, the doors of the well house without fading away. So that's, like, a rule.
Yeah.
Her name's Dodge.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah.
That, okay.
I found that out skimming through this issue a second time.
I just, like, referred to her as, like, Echo in my head. It's this lady with, like, black hair and, like, a black dress, and she's just standing in water.
Yeah.
Kind of freaky.
It is freaky.
She's got some necklace of, like, a bag. It's like a little sack or something.
Yeah.
And she just is brushing her hair.
And it's through this kind of interaction that we are introduced to kind of the hook of the book, which is where there's different keys that can do anything when you walk. Or there's different keys that can, for the most part, do anything when you use the key on a door and then walk through them. So there's one where
it's called like the anywhere key.
There's the anywhere key. And when you when you use it on a door, you have to think about a place, and when you open that door, that place will be there.
Yeah.
And you can walk through it. There's also one that'll, like...
It's kind of like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... Wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Except those have, like, assigned doors to assigned places.
Yeah. This is, like, a universal door.
Yeah.
A universal Monsters, Inc. door.
Universal key that goes to any door.
But there's a bunch of different keys out there. Like, there's one that'll turn you into a grown-up, or there's one that'll change your gender. That may or may not come into play later.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
She actually explains that in this scene. Like, there's one that'll turn you into a girl if you want. Mm-hmm, so, that's kind of a seed that's planted.
So, she needs the anywhere key in order to get out.
Yeah, but we don't find that out until later as well.
But spoilers.
So, her overall goal for the book, or throughout the book, is try and get the anywhere key so that she can... kind of break the rule of not being able to pass through the doors of the well house.
She doesn't seem like a good guy.
So she cheats it by using this anywhere key eventually. So, but
Who locked this place? You know what I mean?
I don't know. But Bode also...
Oh, wait, no, they tell us. I mean.
Bode also brings the Echo person a mirror and some scissors on her request. So he drops it down and she is able to, I guess, transport that through the water to the sink in Sam, like, the murderer's cell.
Yeah, like, in his sink or whatever. Yeah,
but before that actually happens, there's a really cool panel where she, like, looks at herself in the mirror, and the reflection is, like, a really scary-looking, like, monster-slash-demon person.
It's just, like, a zombie thing. I just thought it was a decaying body.
Yeah, and so that leads us to believe that what we are looking at isn't really what's, like...
what we're seeing.
Yeah, we're being deceived in some way. But I just think that's a really bamboozled. Cool panel. So... yeah, and that's kind of the end of that second issue, is Sam getting the scissors and a mirror.
The issues don't really separate in this reading unless you look for, like, some panel that says, like, chapter two or whatever.
Yeah, it's, like, very subtle, like, welcome to Lovecraft, because that's the name of, like, this whole trade, and it says chapter three, but it's kind of hidden the environment.
Yeah, so that always throws me off. I kind of like the little checkpoints, like, all right, you have two more left or whatever.
Yeah, me too. So...
that's why I read comics.
Chapter 3.
So they're not long.
Yeah, same. I like the mental break, because if you weren't, like, looking for it, this would just be really, like, one long issue.
Yeah.
And I know that I can, like, achieve a milestone in about 20 minutes if I'm reading through something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I look for, but...
right.
Oh, well, they're being unique in this series, I guess. So issue 3. This issue is kind of mostly centered around Kinsey, who's the middle child, the daughter... and there's some, like, character development for her in this issue. But we start the issue with Sam the murderer using the scissors to stab a guard in the eye and take his keys to escape, like, the prison. And we see him later on his way across the country hiding in, like, a truck with some cows that are being transported and stuff. So we know that that's an element to the story. So Sam the murderer got out and he's going somewhere. But on Kinsey's end of things, we see Kinsey has now changed her hair after her dad was murdered. So we know that she's kind of a different person, I guess. She had dreads before. I didn't really like them, so I'm glad that she changed them.
I always think it's weird for something like this to happen, because just like comics, if there's a lot of characters, it can be kind of hard to differentiate them. And normally what does that is their hair. And so the fact that it changed, I thought it was like a different character or something. And she changes it again later. Yeah. But, like...
That's a good point. Like, the dreads are very identifiable, because not every character is designed with dreads. And right. So that was very easy to know who that was. But
I guess she's the only girl, so you can kind of, like, get the idea.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But no, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. But it is, you know, it's easy to identify characters by, like, their silhouette. Just so, like, their kind of overall shape. And when you change that in the third issue, when she wasn't even really in the second issue that much anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it can kind of mess things up.
That's why I don't like reading, like, The Walking Dead, like, when you're deep into it. Because there's, like, if there's, like, two blonde characters, you cannot differentiate them.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's black and white.
Yeah, and so it gets, like, super annoying.
Yeah.
But I get it for the character development.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to high school, and then everyone in the high school knows who she is and why she's there.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to be, like, the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
She's on track.
Yeah, she's a runner.
Boring. Anyway.
No, it's not. I was a runner. It was very interesting.
Very boring.
No, yeah, it was pretty boring. But I did connect. No, I didn't connect with her at all. I didn't give a shit that she was a runner. But she does meet a friend at school, which is nice. And this is also the issue when Bode tries to tell her about his new ghost power, and he's like, "Look at this shit," and he walks through the door
and dies. And
then his dead body just drops, and she's like, "The fuck is this? Like, I'm not impressed," and then leaves. And then Bode comes back, and he's like, "There's somebody at the door," and there's like a security guard there that's there for some reason. Or no, he's there to tell them that Sam, the murderer, got out. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna like stay there on patrol for a bit. But yeah, I just think it's so funny that she didn't just like walk through the door by circumstance and turn into a ghost.
I wonder if it can work on like more than one person.
I imagine it could. I mean, does it just deactivate, you think?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it works on just like whoever put the key in or whatever.
Maybe. But yeah, that might be a rule, but
maybe that's explored later.
Yeah, so overall, she thinks Bode is just kind of playing around.
She also didn't see the color of his skin, like, fade.
I mean, I don't think that, you know, someone that's freshly dead doesn't change automatically to gray.
It's do in this comic.
It's there for the, like, effect for us to know that he's dead. I mean, it's pretty obvious when his eyes aren't focused on something and his tongue is out and he's on the floor.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's pretty funny. She's also having trouble at school trying to, like, cope with, like, each and every day and, like, just trying to get through it because she's still a little bit haunted by what happened with her dad. So the stress ends up making her throw up outside of her, like, coach's window. But she comes down and the coach notices her big bracelet that she has on her wrist. And Kinsey mentions that it was given to her from her dad, who used to wear it, and said that it was a key that allowed her to go anywhere that she wants. But she's kind of taking that metaphorically. But that's for us to know that that's the anywhere key.
Right.
And so,
and I guess there's like her dad and the coach were like in the same class or whatever.
Yeah. So she recognizes that wristband from like an old picture. But it's also an element that the dad knows about these keys. And yeah. Apparently he had hid the anywhere key.
Right.
But I guess him hiding it was just putting it on Kinsey's wrist, which is a little bit irresponsible.
So I guess he kind of looked after the key house or whatever, and he was the reason why the well house was locked.
Yeah.
And they don't really expand on that, but they do mention that.
They kind of do and don't. So I think, in general, the reason that Sam kills the dad, Mr. Locke, his name's Rennie.
Yeah.
So the reason that Sam kills the dad, Rennie, is that early on, before he's kind of like a psychopath, he sees like glimpses of Dodge, like the echo person, just kind of out through the environment. And he's already kind of like unstable, but she is able to like connect with him in ways to try and like almost like recruit him to do things for her, because her ultimate goal is to get out of that well.
Right.
And I think that the echo, or Echo and the dad definitely know each other, because it was explained that Echo and Rennie used to talk to each other a bunch. Like, when Bode was trying to, like, find out more about her, she said, like, "Oh, I used to talk to your dad a bunch and stuff."
Yeah.
So I think that she's obviously playing on Bode a little bit, but Echo is, like, locked down there and is trying to manipulate Sam to kill the dad and get the anywhere key for her so that she can leave and get out.
Did you notice this character in the picture staring at Rennie?
No. Let me see. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
Because the one that...
So that looks like Dodge.
Kind of looks like Dodge, but in male form.
Like a dude version?
Yeah. And then you can tell, because they have like the listing of who's in the picture. Mm-hmm. And then like the coach is in like his arms or whatever. Yeah, and then it's his dad, it's Rennie, and then I'm guessing not his mom, but somebody else.
Yeah.
And then he's got, like, the anywhere key as, like, a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Dodge. So Dodge is, like, staring at him and kind of, like, towards his wrist.
Does he just do that all the time?
Just in this picture.
Yeah, probably just in this picture. Okay.
Maybe interesting. Maybe they're mates.
I did not catch that. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, why is this guy staring?
So they must have been boys, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Because
Dodge did speak like fondly of him. Like he said that they would talk all the time, but I thought that was just her trying to manipulate Bode. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if you got that or not.
I did not. But that's basically end of issue 3. So issue 4, this one is kind of centered around the killer, Sam. So he's now making his way across the country and is hitching a ride with a trucker that's driving like a semi. And we learn like about his childhood trauma and stuff from his mom not really caring about him and his good grades. And his dad like beats him up all the time. And then he also got bullied in high school a bunch, which brings him to the counselor of his school, who is Rennie, the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he's the one, Sam's obviously the one that kills him later in life. So we know that they had some form of history together already. And so, you know, that's like a little bit of flashback stuff. Also in Massachusetts, Tyler is still having a hard time coping with things and with his dad and kind of wants to leave. Or he kind of hints at that, but Bode walks in asking about, you know, just random kid things. He asks him if he knows a knock-knock joke. It's like the owl one, like, knock-knock, who's there? And he says, who? And then the response is, who? And It's supposed to be, like, an owl. And Bode is like, that doesn't fucking make any sense. And he's like, yeah, that's kind of what jokes are. But that ends up being something later, kind of.
Right.
So anyway, that's going on, but back with Sam in the present, the trucker brings him to like a stop where they're going to part ways. It's like right outside a bus stop, and says, you know, if you need money to get on the bus, he can coordinate with some other trucker dudes to basically have Sam blow them in like a glory hole that's in the bathroom. But Sam,
did you notice that Sam did that to him?
He did.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. I thought you were brushing over it because it's like not super important. But yeah.
How do you know?
Look at that panel.
Oh, fuck. No, I didn't notice. He's definitely blowing him there.
He's like, oh, yeah.
What? Is that when we first see the trucker dude?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's wiping his mouth after.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that whatsoever.
And so for the ride, you know, I'm like, damn, this dude's determined.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed that. That's so funny.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so he blows this trucker dude.
Yeah.
As a rite of passage. I thought he was just being nice.
He was, kind of.
Well, dang it. I can't even have one nice thing.
No nice people.
I thought he was being nice, a nice trucker dude, and wanted some company.
There's none of them.
But he got a different kind of company. But anyway, he's like, if you need more money, or if you need money in general, like he can coordinate with other trucker dudes to have him blow them as well. But
yeah,
he ends up killing,
we got that.
And he kills that trucker dude and takes his money to get on the bus. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens there. Back in the past, we see Sam talking to Rennie after Tyler storms out, saying that like he hates him. So back in the past, of course, but they talked, and you know, Rennie thinks that he's unstable and decides that he's not going to give Sam a recommendation letter that Sam was kind of wanting from him, and recommends him to see like a therapist, and because he's like kind of unstable. But Sam also sees the Echo Lady in like a picture of the well house that Mr. Locke has. So after talking with Rennie, Sam like leaves and goes to see Tyler after the fact and asks him like why he kind of stormed out of his dad's office, and they kind of talk for a little bit. But there's a part in there that's kind of fucked up, because, you know, Tyler was saying like, you know, everything's kind of like my fault kind of deal. There's just like some dad issues or whatever. But there's a thing that Tyler says after Sam was like, oh man, I just want to kill my dad sometimes. And Tyler was like, well, if you ever decide to kill your dad, do me a favor and kill mine while you're at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big oof, because he ends up doing that.
Right.
So that's kind of a cheeky little thing that happens. But we also see now at the Lovecraft Massachusetts house, there's that random person, the uncle maybe, and the mom are exploring like a super old wine cellar in the basement for the first time. And Bode runs down to tell him that knock-knock joke, and the answer from the uncle dude, he thinks that it's an echo as opposed to like an owl.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of connects with him a little bit. That doesn't end up really doing anything with the story, but it connects to them because it's like an echo and that person is an echo. And I thought that was going to do more when I was originally writing this down, but oh well. And so anyway, he takes that and we also get some more context in the actual moment that the dad dies and Sam is there trying to get the ghost key and the anywhere key. So at this point he knows about those two keys and
Rennie's like refusing to tell him where it's at. Yeah. He's like kind of playing dumb, like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And
then that's when he tries to like stand up to him and say like, I'm going to stand up now. You know, what's next is kind of up to you. So he's kind of pulling like the psychology, like reverse psychology, I guess, or the counselor card on him because they have that rapport together, which we didn't know about earlier. But we also didn't know that the dad knew about these things at this point. So
yeah,
it's interesting that he kind of plays a part in it, but we don't know to what extent because he's dead now.
Super dead.
Yeah.
I guess someone on that bus that Sam was on like recognized him from
the news
or whatever, and they tell the bus driver, and then he ends up like pulling out a gun and like killing him on the bus.
Yeah,
and then just like he puts on like the bus driver's uniform. And
yeah,
then just,
I'm not like, sure why that was relevant.
Keeps driving,
but yeah, and he even kills like he kills the person that notices, which is a mom and her child, and he kills both the mom and the child. So that's pretty fucked up too.
And then he sets the bus on fire, and then he gets on a boat,
mm-hmm.
and then kills the dude who has the boat.
Yep. So I guess there's a boat needed to get to the house.
So there, it's like on a peninsula, where the key house is. There is a road to get to it, but that's where the cop is posted.
Oh, I see.
So he goes the back way through the water in order to get to them.
Gotcha. Cool.
Because on the first page, the very first page, Nathan, there's a map.
The very first page of what?
Of this book.
The entire book?
The entire book.
Oh, I didn't look at it.
Here, let me show you.
Oh, yeah.
Feel dumb?
Okay, makes sense.
I didn't
study that map when I first opened the book. I'm like, okay, cool.
Neither did I. I think I just picked it up from the panels, honestly.
Nice. Okay, cool. So, yeah, Sam kills a dude, takes his boat. And Bodes is now back at the well house talking to Echo at night. And he tells her that, you know, that knock knock joke and says that he's probably not going to talk to her again after this. And so she immediately climbs out of the well and like kind of takes him almost like hostage a little bit for a second while someone's trying to look for him. So apparently she was able to get out of the well, but was trying to play like a I need your help kind of card.
Yeah, so I was reading it, you know, the panel to panel thing.
Yeah.
And so when it went from like, you know, just him going out the window to straight like her crawling out of the well,
uh-huh.
it scared the shit out of me just because I was like, holy fuck, she's out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So she kind of tells her like, don't yell or I'll throw you in the well kind of deal. So he's not yelling, but meanwhile, while that's kind of happening, Sam manages to sneak, or like when Kinsley's trying to find him to get Bode and like it's like time for bed, she's knocked out by Sam, who's now there, and you know, knocks her out with a flashlight. And then Sam manages to sneak into the basement and lock the mom and that other dude who are still in the wine cellar, so he locks them both in there. So now Bode's in the well house. We don't know where Tyler is. He does end up hearing this from upstairs to come downstairs, and Kinsley's knocked out. But when Tyler comes downstairs, he's confronted with Sam, who has a gun, and he ends up knocking Tyler out for a little bit, and then uses that to talk to the mom and ask her where the anywhere key is, kind of.
Dude, look at the dump truck on Dodge.
Dude, she does. She's like...
I'm like, why'd they draw her so thick?
Like, why was that the... Because... So, there's a... Like, when all that is happening, Dodge is saying to Bode, like, Sam is probably here now, and you're going to need my help in order to save them, which isn't actually true. Like, she's just trying to get the Anywhere key still.
Yeah.
But that's now Bode's motivation to...
like, to help.
To follow her, like, what she says. But, yeah, so she's... there's a panel where she, like, bends down to, like, cover his mouth. But, yeah, she's... she's got a dump truck, for sure. She's got some cheeks. So, yeah, and that brings us to the last issue of this. And this is where, like, everything, like, wraps up really well, I feel like. Just because, like, the situation that the writer, like, puts everybody in, I feel like works really well. Because there's the element of the security guard being outside. And so that's kind of used so that Sam doesn't use his gun and alert the guard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, he also, Sam also has to try and figure out how to keep everybody quiet at the same time. So, and then just the adults being locked up and then the two people being knocked out and Bode being the only one able to help and stuff. Like, the way that he coordinates this last issue, I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I wonder how much experience he had with writing comics prior to this, because I think he is, like, kind of like a novelist.
I think he does do, like, novel stuff, but yeah, I'm not sure what his experience with comics was.
I've seen his name in places. Like, I think he did some Batman stuff.
He does more comics now. Like, there's Joe Hill stuff coming out, like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I tried reading one of them and it really bored me, so I didn't want to pick up anymore.
What was it?
It was, like, I honestly can't remember.
Hmm. Okay.
So, but yeah, I think the situation that's, like, set up here is done really well. But anyway, last issue. So Sam is now threatening to kill Tyler if the mom won't tell Sam where the Anywhere and the black door key is, which is the one that turns you into a ghost.
Is it the black door key or the ghost key?
They call it both. He calls it the black door key in this.
Okay.
And so I've called it kind of both, but so the mom, not really knowing what he's talking about, says that it's in, like, a drawer in her room, which is actually where her gun is. But Sam doesn't know that, but Tyler does. So because Sam doesn't know, Sam makes Tyler walk up there with him as, like, a hostage, and he's kind of, like, he, like, is taped up, so he can't really, like, pull a quick one on him. So that's an element. They go up to fucking
the mom's room.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bode turns himself into a ghost and uses his ghost powers to figure out where the Anywhere key is, because there's that element where if he, like, thinks about it hard enough, he'll just be transported there.
Yeah.
And when he's transported there, he sees Kinsley there knocked out on the floor, and he's like, the fuck, why was I transported to Kinsley? Like, mm-hmm. And so he tries again, goes back to the same place, and he's like, this must be the Anywhere key on the wrist.
Yeah.
So he then takes that.
Hold on. This is a dope panel where he, like, goes through the...
oh, yeah. I was on the same one.
Where he goes through the door again.
I think the ghost design in general, like, we haven't talked about it, but it's really good.
Super sick, yeah. Like, it's not, like, stereotypical. It's got, like, this, like, turquoise-ish teal, like, glow to it. And yeah, then it's just, like...
all the shading.
It's barely, like, a body.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, like...
everything,
and it trails really long. It's
like, we can see his, like, head and his arms, and, like, it, his legs kind of fade into a ghost, kind of like a Danny Phantom type thing. But I like it because, like, what would normally be shading is actually just, like, a transparent, like, effect.
Yeah,
which is kind of sick. So anyway, Bode finds out that the Anywhere key is on Kinsley's wrist, so he then has to go back into his body to actually physically pick it up. Mm-hmm. So he does. He goes, gets that, and his mom tells him to go get help, which to Bode is to go help Echo, because Echo said that
she's going to help him. Rather than the cop, yeah.
Yeah. So that's all going on. But meanwhile, in the mom's room where Sam and Tyler are, Sam's kind of, like, looking around, and he's saying some pretty, like, fucked up things, like what he told Tyler's dad right before he killed him, which was that he said that he wanted him dead, like, a little bit before, a couple issues ago. But while he's saying that, Tyler tries to grab the gun. Sam notices him and tells him to, like, get on the ground or whatever. But Tyler then uses that opportunity to just kind of make a run for it, basically. It's also a thing that Sam's gun didn't actually have any bullets in it.
Yeah, but then his mom's kind of gun does.
Yeah, so now that he has a mom's gun, which does actually have bullets, and while Tyler is making a run for it. Sam catches him right before he leaves the door, which also is the ghost door, and like kind of chokes him to death, or so we think, but he actually turns into a ghost because of the ghost door. Like, his body is like just outside the doorway, and
he's so he thinks he kills him like super fast.
Yeah, which is
kind of funny.
It's kind of like brilliant, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because now he has reason to believe that he's dead because he choked him out, but Tyler kind of knows everything that's going on. So far everything's coming together, kind of. Like, there are different elements and stuff that are happening. So, you know, speaking of what Bode has been doing, he manages to get out of the house and get that wristband thing back to Echo. So she uses the Anywhere key, which is actually a key that's like embedded in the actual wristband. Like, it's not the whole wristband. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how that was going to work, because I was like, that thing is a key.
Yeah, I guess it bends or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a... It reminds me of the bendy bracelets, or like the slap bracelets. So it almost kind of looks like that, but in key form. But yeah. Anyway, she uses the Anywhere key and just fucking dips.
Yeah, dude.
So
no help at all.
Yeah. And we also find out that she has another key that with the ability of changing her gender into a boy.
She's got the gender key.
Yeah. So she goes into like a safe that's in her closet and then comes out of the closet as a man.
Yeah, so I was like, where?
At this point, I was like, what the fuck? She has a key?
I was like, she's got hella pecs. Where is this? And then I was like, oh, she's a dude.
I was like, is that a muscle key? I want that. There probably is one out there. So,
oh, yeah. Did you notice the poster in this room?
30 Days of Night.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's a sign, maybe.
So this is definitely a dude's room. Because there's also like a cheerleader poster on the wall.
49ers.
That's not confirmed. Actually, yeah, it is. You can see 49ers.
They're in San Francisco. I guess they're in San Francisco? I don't know.
I think she, or he is now. So anyway. So that happened. And now, Sam now has Tyler's dead body and tells the mom, like, not to lie to him again, because that was obviously a ruse. And if she does, then she'll do the same thing to Kinsley, who's still, like, knocked out. But she comes to at this point. But Tyler is there as a ghost, not really knowing what to do. But he does remember what Bode told him, like, way before when he was trying to, like, explain his ghost powers to him, that he's actually able to inhabit his body again and come back to life. So he does that in the middle of this and is able to tackle Sam. And he drops his gun and they have a little bit of a fight. And then Kinsley takes the gun and shoots Sam. And so... shoots him like kind of in the, was it like the shoulder and then his leg?
Yeah, dude, right in like the hammy.
Oh, dude.
It looks like he shoots him in the neck, probably the shoulder. Yeah. And then when he's running away up the stairs, gets it right in the hammy.
Yeah. So he's like still alive at this point. He's trying to like escape while the family is just like happy that they're all like alive right now. Mm. But Dodge comes back in boy form. And goes to meet Sam, and Sam's like, oh, I was trying to save you. And then Dodge, like, cracks his neck and then throws him through the ghost door and then takes the ghost key. So she now has both keys and leaves Sam as, like, a ghost in ghost form.
But his neck was also still snapped, so I guess that's why... But he was still alive, because that happens sometimes.
Yeah, I guess she didn't snap it all the way. I think she could have just like thrown his ass through the door and that would have been fine. I don't know why there was like a neck snapping thing. But the guard also tries to like come in because he obviously heard the gunshots. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't see Sam or Dodge there at all, because one, Sam is now a ghost. And then I think... Dodge used the Anywhere key to just escape in general.
Yeah.
So they didn't really know what happened, but we know that Sam is now a ghost. But anyway, that's like the big finale. And so we kind of go to Way Way later, where it wraps up and Bode and Kinsley are like fishing again. Tyler meets a new dude named Zach, who we see is pretty clearly Dodge, just in dude form.
Dodge goes back to like the coach's house and like I guess lives there or whatever.
Yeah, that's also a big part of it as well. And then we kind of end with Bode, who's like fishing in that river canal thing. He finds another key that, you know, looks like something it has to do with like brain powers or something.
It looks like a head on the end.
Yeah.
And then the last panel is just like a bunch of keys.
Yeah. Like a million different designs for keys.
Maybe like 30
things. There's like an probably like 30, but it gives the idea that there's a bunch more keys out there and we have no idea what they do.
They all do different things.
And it's like, wow, what do those do? Who knows?
I guess they only work in this house or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think they're supposed to work on any door. No, they do because.
Oh yeah. Because anywhere key.
Like the idea is they can open any door and then they do certain things when you walk through them. So at that point I'm like, ooh, this one looks like it, you know, controls the brain or something. And I'm like, that's kind of interesting. Like there's a whole bunch of different keys and like, how are they going to be introduced to the story and stuff like that. But
yeah,
ultimately I think if I was going to enjoy this story, this concept a little bit more, I'd probably just watch the Netflix series.
Yeah, probably. I think this is like an older book.
It is.
And so you can kind of be updated or maybe just reworked to maybe work better for television.
Yeah.
It's not a super long series. I think it's something like 30 issues.
Okay.
So I guess you would see a lot of the keys and kind of get a little bit more action.
This trade was released in 2009.
Okay, yeah. So like...
A little, like 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So...
Good math.
Yeah, overall, pretty solid book. Like, again, I didn't really care about much people, but I think the way that it ended up, I was like, the circumstance is built really well and, like, builds a lot of tension, so.
Yeah, I thought it was a good plot.
And then just...
Wasn't super spooky.
Just the ending is kind of like a good, not like cliffhanger, like it doesn't make it so where things aren't wrapped up, it's just like there's more to come that's interesting.
Yeah, like a after credits scene.
Yeah. So, I imagine at some point, a character gets a key ring and there's a bunch of really cool keys on there.
Ooh.
Or and like a big lanyard.
A lanyard, I was about to say.
That'd be cool.
Or one of those cool little dad ones that like retract from the waist.
Those are more for like RFID cards, right? Just like badge into places, but
that's true.
Anyway, let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. We got a art gallery by Gabriel Rodriguez.
The artist. So I think these are just the covers for the series, or there's two
of them.
First one is sick,
It's just the warehouse and a ghost, looking real creepy.
I think it's supposed to be Bode. Or wait, the first one?
That one?
Yeah, that's the... Oh, yeah, the warehouse. Sorry, I thought you said a warehouse.
Yeah, I know.
And then we see, like...
Shattered mirror, and then, like, the scissors, like, with blood on them.
Yeah, so that one's supposed to be when Sam escapes, I guess. So they look good.
Some character designs.
It looks like they look different than the actual like book. Like I think he spends like a little bit more time on it probably, or maybe like there's a different colorist for the covers or something, because it does distinctly look different.
Maybe it's because he does the colors on it, because the art gallery is only crediting Gabriel Rodriguez.
So. That could be it. Yeah. Yeah. So we get the character designs, which I always love seeing. So we see the kids and the mom.
See the map one more time. Oh, you see that little pencil drawing that was in Rennie's office?
Oh yeah.
That's got Dodge in the window.
It's super detailed.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, honestly.
Yeah. So props to him there. Looks pretty creepy. What else do we got?
They got some key house designs. That's pretty interesting. Like actual architecture, like layouts. Yeah. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, like you can kind of see the floor plan along with like the actual design of the house.
He's got it from different angles. Because
that is like an important part of this too. Like
especially when you're outdoors. Yeah. You want to know like where things are.
And
that's crazy.
You can see the house. So he goes like, that's really good. Like I would think that this is like actual blueprints.
Those are some straight ass lines.
Yeah. Probably had a ruler. If I had to guess. A couple other covers and that's about it, I would say. There's kind of like a hint to like the next trade, which is good. And then the biographies of both Joe Hill. So Joe Hill is the author of a novel called Heart-Shaped Box. I think they're mixing that up with the Nirvana song.
Right. Nirvana song.
He's also part of a collection of stories called 20th Century Ghosts, and currently, well, at the point of this printing, he's currently working on a new novel, The Surrealist's Glass. And so the worst comic book he ever read was Still a Pretty Good Time. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but that's part of his biography.
Huh.
So, and then Gabriel Rodriguez has some stuff on there about him. I don't really know what else he's done, but he did some Beowulf. It looks like Clive Barker's The Great and Secret Show and Land of the Dead. So, and some CSI comics.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good for him. I really liked his stuff.
Yeah, he's a good artist.
A little bit different, I would say.
I like his covers, for sure.
Yeah, that's what we got for Back Matter Matters.
Yeah.
So now we'll go into our next segment, the pull list, colon, shove it in your box.
Yes, sir.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
Let's see here. I didn't go to the shop today. I'm a pretty shitty comic fan, I guess.
I forgot to go to the shop today as well, but I know one thing at least I'm picking up.
I'm off tomorrow, so I'm going tomorrow.
You're off tomorrow and Friday?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Dude, Skull Digger, number 5, and Skeleton Boy.
Oh, I still need to read number 4. But is that the end of the series?
I hope not, but probably.
I hope not either.
Because all the spinoffs are like 5 issues. But this one's especially good.
This one's like unbelievable. Like, the artist as well is like
super dope.
Yeah, most of the joy of that series for me. But it's still like really just, it's really good.
Yeah. So we got that. What else came out?
We should do a month of just like Black Hammer, to be honest.
Dude, we could do like 2 months of Black Hammer.
Yeah, true.
I'm down to just shotgun him for the show.
True.
Gideon Falls, the penultimate issue, I think.
Stillwater number 2 came out by Chip Zdarsky. Ooh, I'm going to be picking that up.
What we got here? Family Tree number 9.
Did you ever read Stillwater?
Nope.
Okay.
But I'll get to it.
Family Tree, I'm very behind on. I'm behind on most books.
I think I'm on like issue like 5 of Family Tree. It's a great book and I just need to like put the time to read it.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy like how distinctly different all of Jeff Lemire's artists are. Because like Phil Hester is definitely like pretty, like he has very like sharp edges kind of when he's like drawing like people, and it's pretty heavily shaded.
In Family Tree,
yeah.
Yeah, and then he's got like a handful of guys for Black Hammer stuff.
Yeah.
Gideon Falls is incredible with
Sorrentino.
Andrea Sorrentino.
Yeah. The different cast that he has for the Black Hammer stuff is like nothing short of top tier.
Yeah, for sure. Which is fun.
It is fun.
Good artist for a good writer. What about you?
The one thing that I know for sure I was picking up is Stillwater, but I don't know what came out today, to be honest.
Okay.
So, yeah. Did you watch anything?
Did I? Oh, my goodness. I watched so many things.
Yes, you did.
I watched the original Evil Dead movie. Have you ever seen those?
Mm-mm. The Sam Raimi one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like in the 80s. It was okay. I don't know what the lore is. I'm like, what are these people? Why? How do they die? Why is this happening?
People love it.
Yeah. So I'm determined to watch all of them and then give the show a try, like Ash versus Evil Dead, mm-hmm. just because.
Who's Ash?
Ash is like the main character.
Okay.
He's like the only one that survives in the first one. It was made in the 80s, so it's kind of got that 80s like horror movie vibe to where it's like kind of cheesy. I was honestly laughing at a lot of the stuff because of how like just dumb it is.
That's fun. I think that's needed for sure.
Yeah, like some of the jump scares I like laughed at just because they look so dumb. Like there's this one where he's like looking in a closet, but there's a window right next to him, and like a lady just pops up. He's like, bah! And it was so dumb.
Like she physically moves into frame.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It just wasn't scary. I kept thinking, I'm like, this gave a kid nightmares like back in the 80s.
And it was probably like, pretty revolutionary at the time.
Yeah. I think it's like a cult classic now.
Yeah.
There are like 4 of them and then the show, but, I kind of want to get into that.
Nice.
I watched a movie called Eli, which is a horror movie on Netflix. It's about this kid who's like allergic to the air. And so he has to go to like this special doctor, and they are doing all these like torturative like experiments on him because they don't know what's wrong with him.
Hmm.
I'm going to spoil it for you because I don't think you'll ever watch it.
Nope.
Big spoilers for Eli. So
this is a new thing.
I think it came out either this year or last year.
Okay.
So he, I'm not good at explaining things, but they as the movie goes on, he has like more like procedures, and then there's like ghosts in the house and stuff like that. And he just like finds out that the ghosts were like past patients that died. And then he finds out that the nurses and doctor are actually like nuns. And he goes into this basement thing, and there's like this little casket thing. It kind of looks like the well in like the well house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like the bodies of the kids in there. And what turns out is that like everyone has been lying to him, and he hasn't been sick at all.
Oh, that sucks.
So the nuns, or the nurses, are actually nuns, and his dad isn't his actual dad, and his dad is the devil, and his mom is a human. And so when his skin got like all red and rashy in the air, that he's was just him like
turning into
like a demon thing or whatever. And so he like he like gets all demoned out, and he's all the medicine that he's been taking his whole life was like holy water. Because so he thought his mom was trying to get him to not be, you know, the devil's child. I thought the movie was super dumb, because I'm like, all right, obviously they're trying to kill him. There's no cure for this disease or whatever. And then it just took this like demonic turn.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, this kind of saved it for me, because it's kind of funny. Because he like,
he's just like a Hellboy now.
Yeah. He looked just like Hellboy. His skin was all red. Wow. And he like burns like all the nurses and shit. And then it turns out like all those kids were like his brothers and sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it ends with like this like girl that he was talking to throughout the movie was actually like his sister or whatever. And she's like, oh,
sounds dad, like a lot of twists.
Dad gets around or whatever. And I'm like,
how many spins did you do? Because there are so many twists.
Man, like three.
Nice.
It wasn't bad. So it was a little dumb. Like, I'm like, all right, there's no way there's a sequel for this.
Yeah.
But I still like enjoyed it.
Okay.
I think I watched like one more thing. Eli. Oh.
Umbrella Academy?
Okay, yeah, there's that. So yeah, I took your advice and just watched it.
Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, and then just got like super hooked.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
The first season ends really well. And then the first episode of the second season is like one of the greatest episodes of television I've ever seen. It's so fucking cool. It's
big praise. Okay, I'm going to have to catch up with it then, I think.
Yeah, and now I'm just like super hooked on it. I'm almost done.
Sweet.
It's cool. I'm attached to everybody.
Want to do an Umbrella Academy episode?
Definitely. I want to do that very soon because I'm super into it.
Nice. Okay, cool. I'm down for that.
I watched Hashtag Alive on Netflix. Have you seen this?
I think I can visualize the movie poster. Is it like black and white?
No.
The poster?
No.
Okay, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about.
So it's a Korean zombie movie.
Okay, I've heard about this.
It came out this year, I think. And it's just like a normal Korean movie, but it was English dubbed. And it's live action.
Can I guess what the general idea is about?
Sure.
Do people that use social media turn into zombies in some form?
No.
That's kind of a good idea, though, because like social media turns into a zombie.
So it's not a... I enjoyed it. It's a good movie. I don't think it brings anything new to like the zombie game or whatever, but it's still like pretty good. You know what I mean? I heard from like people who make zombie movies say like that The Walking Dead like kind of ruined like the zombie genre, but...
That's harsh.
I think this was really cool. It's just like this guy who's living in an apartment, and there's like a zombie apocalypse, and he's just trying to survive. And then it turns out there's a girl like across the way in a different building who's still alive, and they help each other survive and blah blah blah.
Is it called Hashtag Alive? Is there a reason?
Oh, because at the beginning his dad is like, they go out shopping or whatever, and then he's like, you must survive or something. And so he posts on social media like, oh, survivor in whatever, and like his address, and he puts like hashtag alive, I think.
Okay.
And then in the end, when everything's all fine and dandy, the way that they find survivors is just from a hashtag.
Neat.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, cool.
That's a good thing then.
Yeah. It's good. I think it's only like an hour and a half. I think if you just want to watch a zombie movie, it's cool because it's like modern.
I've been looking for quick things to watch. So I've been actually asking for recommendations from people. Like, I haven't seen Hereditary yet, but it's the same guy that made Midsommar, and Midsommar is pretty disturbing, but apparently Hereditary is like a little bit better. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I liked Hereditary more. Midsummer felt long.
It's super long.
It's like 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, so I think Hereditary is shorter.
That's good.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, good stuff.
Are you looking for like horror stuff?
Just like something. I haven't watched anything that's Halloween-y.
Halloween-y?
Yeah. So, yeah, I had that recommendation. I kind of want to see Haunting of Bly Manor.
And then, it's not very spooky. And then I heard like a spoiler that it's not spooky. It's just sad at the end. So,
that sounds pretty good.
This was okay.
So, and then, yeah, I got a couple other recommendations for just from things that I haven't seen yet. But
like what?
Like The Woman in Black.
Okay.
And that's supposed to be a good horror movie.
Doesn't that have Daniel Radcliffe in it?
No, I think that's something else that you're thinking of. Hmm. But I know what you're talking about. Actually, no, I think it does have Daniel Radcliffe. I gotta look it up now.
Maybe it's The Woman in the Water or something like that.
Yep, definitely has Daniel Radcliffe in it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good job.
I know this?
I think I have seen that movie, but not all of it. Like, I think I walked into a friend's house and he was watching it, and I watched it for like 20 minutes.
Oh.
So, yeah. Anyway, things that I read slash watched. I did manage to read Rorschach, number one, by Tom King and Jorge Fornes.
Fornes.
And it's pretty good.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, I think it opens up really cool in like a really cool way, and it ends in a really surprising way that I probably should have expected, but I didn't.
Rorschach dies.
No, that happens in the beginning.
Really? Fuck. So, anyway.
Well, a Rorschach dies.
Oh.
And it's kind of like it's definitely like it's taking the perspective of a detective that's trying to figure out why Rorschach died and a Rorschach died in the beginning. And okay. It's during like a presidential election.
Okay.
So is it timely, I guess, but
is it before, during, after the movie or the, you know, original
events of Watchmen? It's after, just okay. after,
but before the show,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like a old president is like actually running, but there's somebody else that's running in place of him that is a fictional character.
Who's the president?
I don't know who is like the president at that point, whoever's the president during Watchmen, but there's like a
Nixon.
Is it Nixon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that name was said, but there's a dude named Turley who is running that is like a corrupted guy, and there has something to do with that. Like, there's something to do with the murder of that Rorschach and then the election.
Okay.
But it's pretty black label, I would say. Like, you see like dead naked autopsy bodies.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. So you see some
love
some,
that shit.
Some naked boobies.
Some
and some naked scrot.
Wow.
So pretty good stuff.
Nice.
And so yeah, I liked it. Definitely I don't know what I was expecting. I just kinda wanted to keep an open mind, and I like the way that it's going. So that's good. I also watched Hubie Halloween, and that was something that I had on kind of in the background while I was helping Sophia with like her like Halloween costume.
Okay,
but I liked it.
It's not bad.
It was definitely.
I mean, it's bad, but it's not.
It's bad, but I think
it's not his worst movie.
It's bad. I wouldn't say it's like bad, but it's like
not
2020
good.
Definitely needed it kind of deal.
Yeah,
it's just like a simple movie that's like kind of just ridiculous in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fun with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like the Shaq reveal where he's where he's like the radio person that's supposed
the radio
to be a girl.
Woman or whatever.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
That was pretty funny. I'm like, of course Shaq's
and
in the shit.
The twist I didn't like expect. Also, what is up with this water bottle? It's like a fucking, like, it does anything.
Yeah, it's got like a grappling hook on it, and it's got like
an umbrella.
It's like a fucking vacuum.
It's a blender.
Yeah, he puts like four different soups in it and just blends it.
I think that's a funny bit. Like, in general, I'm like, holy shit, where do I get one of these?
Yeah, kind of I like that one too.
So
I think it turns into a flashlight or something.
I had fun with it in general. I also liked the overproduction of the costume design of like the costumes of people, I guess.
There was a lot of money put into that. Like,
yeah.
Which
just
wasn't
the general,
needed.
Like the general costume design was like overdone for what people normally do, but it's like
in
they
the
tried
sets
to make it,
and stuff.
They tried to make it look like normal.
Like they made like that neighborhood look like no one's neighborhood. Like, no one goes that all out for Halloween except for this place or whatever.
I did like that main kid's like costume where he was the tin man from fucking
Alice in Wonderland.
Wizard of Oz. I like the Freddie Mercury costume too because he had the fucked up teeth.
I think
it was just a fun movie.
Yeah, I like how, you know, what's his name?
Kevin James. Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is in it. I like that he was in it.
Who are you thinking of?
The Rob Schneider's like cellmate. What's his name?
The old dude that has like the house right next to him?
Yeah. What's his name? Like the actor's name?
I forget.
I'm going to be pissed when I hear it. Just give me like the first letter of the first name.
S.
First letter of the first name?
Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah.
Steve.
What is it? It starts with a B. Steve B.
Dude, I'm so fucking fried right now.
Starts with Steve and then like a scary, like a boo. Like,
tell me.
Steve Buscemi.
Buscemi, that's it. Okay, I wouldn't have gotten to that.
God damn it.
So it made it seem like he was so obviously the bad guy and he was so obviously like a werewolf.
He doesn't end up turning into a werewolf, does he?
No, he just like glues like fur on him or on himself or something.
So dumb.
And like
the mom is like the person doing all this to try and make Hubie.
People nice to Hubie.
Yeah.
I wasn't
expecting that.
So I was like, I did not see that coming.
Honestly. I know, exactly. Like, there's actually a twist. They're like,
the murderer's at your house. He's like, no. I'm like, oh, shit. Who can it be?
I had such a hard time, like, understanding what he was saying most of the time, too.
Dude, I watched it with, like, subtitles. Like,
I want Adam Sandler to start a podcast where he talks like that, and I just won't understand what he's talking about most of the time.
I love the Adam Sandler voice. That made it really funny for me.
Yeah. So, it was a good time. But, yeah, that's really all that I watched / read this week. But, yeah, good stuff. So
yeah, me too, probably.
Yeah. So now we'll go into what we're reading next week.
Okay, so I thought about this.
Cool, because I didn't.
I was thinking 30 Days of Night, and I've been saying that like the entire month. But like I've seen the movie, and I don't know if I just want to read, you know, the original content. So I wrote down some things.
Okay.
Run
them by me.
We could do Gideon Falls, which is like a horror book.
Yeah.
Technically. Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
There's Outcast by Robert Kirkman.
Okay.
I've read that. I enjoyed that.
I've only read the first issue.
For a bit.
It is good.
You have a first issue, don't you?
I do.
That's crazy.
I got it off of OfferUp.
That's dope.
pretty cheap.
I think Donnie Cates has a book called Redneck.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read Redneck, and I really...
Is it a horror book? Do you know?
It's about vampires and stuff.
Okay, that could be cool. You remember that book, Redlands?
Yes.
That's like a witch book that I think
it was... Who's it by?
I think Becky Cloonan, maybe?
Yeah, okay. Wait. Yeah, okay, yeah. I think you're right.
I remember reading the first issue, and it actually had like a jump scare that like got me.
What the fuck?
I'm like, how the fuck does that work? And it was like a page turn, so I was like, shit. Is it Becky Cloonan? Or no, Gail Simone?
Jordy Belair.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I do remember this. Yeah.
I'm so shitty.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Ice Cream Man. I read the first trade of that. That's got some horror vibes to it. It's been pretty popular recently. And then I found out that Mike Mignola was on a Aliens book. And I think that'd be kind of fun.
Like he drew an Aliens book?
Yeah. It's called Alien Salvation.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I wish October was longer.
I think we could do Aliens later and have that be justified just because it's a general property.
Okay.
So I would say either Redlands or Redneck.
I'd say Redneck.
I think Redneck would be good.
Okay.
Because I've been wanting to read it anyway, and people will praise it pretty highly. There's also a book that he did called Baby Teeth.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I think Redneck is more immediately like, because they're like vampires, but they're also hillbillies, which is why it's called Redneck.
Oh, nice.
But it's supposed to be like really, it's like one of his more highly regarded books.
Okay.
Which I really like a lot of the stuff that he's done. I just haven't read this.
You're a Donnie Cates fan.
I'm a Donnie Cates stan. I'm an advocate.
What?
That's what he calls people that he likes or that like him. advocates.
Okay.
We're turning into advocates next episode. I've been wanting to do a book by him too, because he's got some good stuff.
Perfect. Redneck, volume one. Is it just one volume?
It goes longer, but yeah, we'll do volume one.
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
That's exciting. I'm excited.
TradeWritersPod@gmail.com. Send in recommendations.
What do you like to see?
What do you want to hear? TradeWritersPod on Twitter.
Yes.
I am real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram. Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
I am at more like Nathick on Twitter.
And that's the show, everybody.
And yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Smell you later.
Have a good weekend.
I hope you do too, Daniel. And
Shout out to Nathan Moss.
Oh, thanks, Nathan Moss,
for the theme.
Yep.
Shout out to me for all the other themes.
Yeah, you're just so great. All right, later.